flip, flip, flip all these burgers.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, B. Scott Show and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. The latest is Clint Sterner is out today. How you think Clint's going to fare on Monday when we jump on this scale? You think Clint's been out the last 2 days? I know he has been out of Houston. He sent us a photo at the airport. How you think he's going to be Monday weigh-in? Think he's that can get dicey for him when he goes on the road. He said usually his tough spot is when he's up in the hill country like he was last week.
I'm a bet plus 5. I'm gonna say Clint's added 5, man.
If Monday's anything like all our other Mondays, yeah, y'all aren't gonna have super great news.
Clint knows how to have a good time. I'm sure he's living his best life. And because of that, and look, he's happy.
I'm gonna eat 8 hot dogs tomorrow with you.
We should just end this weighing thing we're doing.
I'm just kidding, man. I walked away from Pink's Pizza.
Something.
I know there's some people who do say pizza. Pink's Pizza. I walked away from it.
All right. We'll see Monday.
You brought it in my face.
Only because you didn't really know what you was walking away from, though, brother.
If you and Dirty Red come in here Monday and we have another lackluster weigh-in at 3 o'clock, I'm going to call for
We both lost weight last week.
Barely.
Tough crowd over here, man.
And he's really,
I just expect more from my guys.
Some progress. Tough love on us, apparently.
Keep me accountable. I want to do this weigh-in thing.
Nobody said it. I just said tough love. Jesus. My goodness.
Damn, Tyler.
Wow, man.
You be so heartless.
I think I need to take a walk after that, man. Jesus.
You should probably take some walks, you know, a lot between now and Monday.
Tyler's like, oh, now you want to take a walk.
The pins were there. The pins were set up there for that
now
one.
Now you want to take you a walk. You wasn't walking back when.
Yeah, maybe you should start taking a couple of walks. Maybe we should practice.
You want to walk after
getting
the
off
way
your ass
in.
And taking a couple of walks.
Maybe working a jog.
Maybe work that walk into a run.
You want to walk after the way in instead of before.
God forbid you work in a run.
I know. My knees, man. Dang, man. Yeah. Oh, you turned down that pizza. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure you probably had some when you left.
Got to walk before you can run.
I could have drove.
But you do got to walk.
I could have drove to a Wendy's yesterday after I got off.
Ooh, Frosty sounds good.
What about the new ones? Let's not get there. The Astros host the Rangers tonight, and the big news is the debut of their number one prospect, Bryce Matthews. He is coming up from AAA Sugarland. Slash line for him. Hit .283, .400 on base. And then slug .476, 10 homers, 39 RBIs, 25 steals while he was playing second base in AAA Sugarland. So it is time. It is time. This is what his manager, Joe Espada, had to say in the plan for young Bryce Matthews as he comes up and makes his debut tonight against the Rangers.
It's a big day for the organization and obviously for Bryce. He's worked really hard to get to this point. We're excited to have him here.
What was it that finally kind of put it over the top to give Bryce the call?
So, I think the consistency of his at-bats, I think that's important, and also on the defensive side. I think we both talked today. I don't think he's a finished product, but I think the development will continue here in the big league level and create that consistency for him to stay up here and be a solid player.
All right, that was how many at bats y'all think he's seen?
None.
Of Bryce,
zero.
Do you think he's been after games or off days watching tape of Bryce?
No, I think he's relying a lot on the information. He's just like a lot of us, relying on a lot of the information that he is fed about one Bryce Matthews.
There you go.
Yeah,
consistent at bats.
I mean, the numbers do speak for themselves. I say this for my expectation of the kid. Hey, just go out there and work your walk. I'm cool if you go 0-for if you don't get your first major league hit. Go out there and work your walk, man. Apparently, that's one of the things he does well. You don't need the tape to see that. The numbers spell that out. So maybe that's what Joe is talking about.
Yeah, Joe also went on to say to the media that, you know, he is going to get every day at bats. They want him to be in the lineup, going to play second and some short, so he's middle infield, but I would assume mostly second base.
Yeah,
based off what he has done leading up to this point.
The short thing will be over with once Pena's ribs
are good. Yeah, and then when Pena's back, then obviously he will not be playing shortstop. So that is the big news with him, Bryce. Matthews coming back. Hometown kid. It should be an exciting standing ovation for him tonight when he gets up to the plate. He is facing some good pitching this weekend against the Rangers, especially the next 2 days, with Nathan Eovaldi going on Sunday and Jacob deGrom, who is an all-star, going tomorrow as we'll be there. But your excitement. You're excited to see what the potential second baseman of the future is going to look like.
Yeah, it's potentially the second baseman of the future. Also, like, specific to Astros fans, like, you got to cherish these early moments, because, I mean, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom and bring the vibes down.
What are you about
to do? But if Bryce Matthews turns out to be worth a damn, it's not like we can expect him to be here much longer past the 6 years, the team control that they're going to have on.
It's not ideal.
So the earliest days, the earliest days are the best days.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying that we covet these times. We cherish these times.
Because if he is any good, they're not going to sign any of these guys?
If he is any good, he's going to be playing in San Diego or somewhere in 8 years.
They're going to sign Hunter Brown.
Get out of here. Not if Hunter Brown got any sense about him.
Oh, my God.
He's going to wait that thing out, and he's going to go somewhere. He's going to go somewhere where they really pay money.
I didn't really know you was going to buzzkill it like that.
Man, that's how. But that's why I'm excited today.
That's all you had to say.
Glad you didn't pick this guy to go to the game tomorrow.
Jesus.
I'm just saying.
Buzzkill.
Man.
Hey,
Big Phil wouldn't have been having that.
Don't blame me for being honest. I'm just real. I ain't here for your feelings.
Big Phil be like, damn, Ron, who the hell's this guy, man?
I'd be like, Vic, man, who the hell's this guy?
Enjoy it now, Big Phil. The time is ticking. The clock is ticking.
All right, they'll face the Rangers tonight. We'll talk more about this series coming up a little bit later. By the way, the starting lineups for that, Bryce Matthews will start his first game. He's hitting in the eighth spot. Paredes leading off. They're going to move Cam Smith back up there. We'll give you the latest news here in just a couple of moments on Jake Myers. But Cam Smith's batting second in right field. Jose Altuve is in left field. Christian Walker is at first base. Victor Caratini is catching tonight. Yiner is the DH. Dubon is the shortstop. As I said, Bryce Matthews batting eighth tonight. And Taylor Trammell is in center field.
Don't get too attached. Don't get too attached. Don't grow to love them.
Like, you could just stop, man. Like, at this point, you could let it in. Like, damn, man.
He's trying to. I don't know why you're. I mean,
hardly know you, Bryce.
Oh, man,
don't leave a toothbrush.
Even with what you're saying, he's got 7 years. I mean, my God.
The hell's easy.
My goodness. That is the lineup. Injury notes. So this is the other thing Bryce may have to look forward to. Injury notes. Jake Myers, he is obviously not in the lineup today, and he will not be in the lineup for the foreseeable future because he has been placed on the 10-day IL. I'm going to make it very clear that I am in belief this is going to be longer than 10 days, but he has been placed on the 10-day IL with
The buzzkill.
That is more serious honesty than your 7 years away honesty.
Writing's on the wall either way for both both fronts.
He is on the 10-day IL with what they are calling a right calf strain. We moved from tightness to strain. And, this is retroactive to July 10th. It is yesterday.
Yeah.
And also with this news as well, infielder, outfielder Zach DiZenzo, as we know here as D's Nuts, has been transferred to the 60-day IL to make room on the 40-man roster for Big Bryce Matthews. So, 10-day IL, Jake's going to be out for a while. Zach DiZenzo, clearly the hand issue is worse. I'll be honest with you. Their two hand injuries have just been been some doozies with Yordan, who, by the way, also, we'll get to him in a second, but Yordan and his hand thing, and now Zach DeZinzo's going to miss over 60 days with this hand issue.
$18 million, don't they got a hand specialist?
I was just about to say, they might want to bring back, I know he's a little older, they might want to talk to this dude that they honored earlier this year, this hand specialist.
Where's the hand specialist at?
I mean, he must have been good, he got an award. Like,
oh man, I thought we specialized in hands.
Good.
Hand specialization, dog.
Yeah,
I don't see it. It's not giving special.
Well, you know, at least we're not hearing setbacks on this one. This one, we're just hearing slow progress on Zach DeZinzo. But
yeah, that's killing my vibe enough without you, B. Scott.
He went on the IL in June. So clearly they feel like we're going to take all the rest of these 30 days as well that we potentially are going to use. So he is going to be there for some time, and clearly this shows that he's not close.
I'm sorry, Zach. Hand. We don't have time for your hand, man. We got to get the kid up, get the kid some at bats. You and your hand and the defects, go on, sit to the side.
Yeah. Sorry, Zach. Also, Pena is ramping up work in the weight room and doing, as they call it, somewhat baseball activities.
Baseball adjacent.
And then Yordan Alvarez isn't swinging a bat yet. So,
why would he?
There's that.
Why would he? His hand is only 95% healed.
We don't really have an understanding of how healed it is. But that's the latest on the Astros injury front. And there are about another 9 guys that are also injured that they just didn't have time to give an update on.
How's Christian Javier and Luis Garcia and
Spencer Arrigetti? By the way, doesn't it feel like the Spencer Arrigetti thing should be moving faster than it is? I'll just say that.
It always all does lately with this team, bro.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitch.
Except for with Jake.
5 o'clock fire.
They got Jake's ass right up in there. All right, Chicago Bears. They have decided to extend their general manager, Ryan Poles, through the 2029 season. And I just, has he done a good job?
Got lucky. Got lucky.
That's what I'm saying. Has he done a good job?
He's got good PR. He is media savvy, media trained clearly. Has good relationships in the media, so the messaging on him is good. And then he got lucky. He had the number one overall pick in the year that it was good to have the number one overall pick.
But he did make the move, right, to get it, to put himself in position with the Panthers to trade out of that, right? And got a lot. He got, DJ Moore out of that trade. They ended up getting other picks that I think maybe one of them turned into Roman.
He made a good trade.
He made a good
trade.
And
then they got lucky.
They got extremely lucky.
Yes.
Out of it.
So sometimes it's good to be lucky and good. I think he was a little bit of both. Now, is it not his fault that, like, who do you blame Matt Eberflus on? Who do you blame their revolving door offensive coordinators on?
And I want to be right out in front on that. I expressed that Matt Eberflus was never going to be a good head coach because your name can't be Eberflus,
yeah.
And your nickname can't be Flus.
Yeah, they call him Flus.
Yeah, that can't be. You're not going to be a good head coach with that name. DeMeco Ryan's good, solid head coach.
Yeah. At least if your name is Flus, you got a lot to overcome.
Matt Eberflus?
Like, you got to be damn good.
I told them that in Chicago. I think I pissed off some people when I said that at the time, and now they're probably with me.
Now they're like, you know what? You had a point.
You had a point. No, I like what he has done with the offensive line situation this year. Went out and got a trade and got Joe Tooney.
Yeah.
And got another guard for the Rams. Went out and made the deal for the center. The top center on the market, but...
Well, it's a good idea to try to protect the investment. Yeah. Like, hey, you looked up and got a quarterback.
You're right. I do think if the Caleb thing didn't occur, because he got some of the Justin Fields action, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, if that didn't work, then I would imagine that he wouldn't be getting an extension right now. Like, if the Caleb... They got the quarterback thing, which feels set. And he did hit a home run on... The head coach, it would appear. And now, again, I think you would also say he was allowed to hit that home run because of the quarterback situation that he had.
Yeah, it's one of those situations like, if you make the mess, do you get credit for cleaning it up? Or did you just clean up your mess? And then do we just move on? That's kind of what I'm looking at. It's like, he's putting out some fires that he kind of helped.
That he helped build.
That he kind of helped start a little bit.
You think they're going to be good?
I do. Right? But I thought they were going to be good last year, and I was wrong.
With Ebert. Not with old Floos.
I mean, they are quarterback cursed. You know, that's coming from a lot of Houston sports fan, but they are quarterback cursed over there.
They're nowhere close. And the Bears have been around. The Texans are, 22 years old, 23 years old?
23 years old.
The Bears have been around since the jump.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you look at the things that they have never had in terms of what a quarterback, they have never had a 4,000-yard passer.
Ever.
Ever in franchise history.
Jay Cutler has a case for being their best quarterback of our lifetime.
I don't think they have I may be off on this. I don't think they have a quarterback that's ever thrown 30 touchdown passes in a season.
I mean, who would it be?
Jay Cutler. I think Jay Cutler.
I believe I saw that recently. I think you're right.
It is insane the history that they have had. Oh, boy, keep the lead. Well, that was a moment for me. It is insane the history that they have had and their quarterback struggles. Just awful. Awful.
Yeah. All right. It is a quarterback graveyard.
Yeah, it is. That's why Caleb's dad didn't want him to go there. All right, coming up as we continue, the one question that I think the Texans have to answer, and we will see this year. You want the Texans to get past the divisional round? I know you do. But the question is, and I think this has been the problem for them for years, do they actually have enough horses to get past the teams they need to get past? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in, beautiful folks out there, as we continue to ride through. T-Mill's Best Bets coming up here in, at least before we get up out of here, about 20 minutes or so. Stay tuned with us for that. Let me ask you this. And both of you, you guys have obviously followed the Texans the entire time that they have been in existence. And tell me if you think this is a fair assessment, especially maybe not in the moment. Maybe you felt differently in the moment because in the moment you get there and you really, as a fan, start to believe and you remember it differently, or you at least feel it differently. But over the years, obviously the Texans are still trying to get past that second round of the playoffs. I was on with my guy Carrington Harrison today on Mad Dog Radio on Sirius, and he hit me with that. So, the Texans are trying to get themselves out of that ESPN playoff game. They're trying to get past you know, winning winning the South and winning a playoff game and then losing to the teams that are better than them. And I'm like, yeah, they're trying to get to that space. They're trying to get past the point and get to at least an AFC championship game, which would be the first time in franchise history.
Yeah, they feel like playoff filler right now. Like they're in there just because somebody's got to be in the playoffs, but never like the team that you're really watching for down the stretch.
Yeah, it seems like they're banging their head up against the ceiling.
Yes.
Like they've got a ceiling each time. But I think a big thing is, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, all these really good teams, from the teams with Arian Foster and Andre and Wade and those groups, to the teams with Deshaun and JJ and DeAndre Hopkins, to the most recent ones who have gone to the playoffs, from afar and now covering them, it has just felt to me, ultimately, they just haven't had the horses to face off against the teams that they've got to beat. And it ain't just a team, but teams. They've had they have had horses, but not the amount of horses where you walk into it and you feel like, all right, man, this is an even fight. Like, this is a flat, even fight. I don't know. Maybe you all think I'm wrong. Maybe there's some years where you feel differently. But to me, that just, I know at least damn sure the 5 years I've been here and the 2 years they've been in the playoffs the last 2 years, the big thing that I've looked at is they just don't have all the horses yet.
Yeah.
Last year, actually, I thought they did. Last year, coming into the season, and then we saw their issues up front, and clearly they didn't have the horses there. But that just is, to me, where I have been with the Texans, and now it's the big question to me, ultimately, do they have enough talent? Do they have the horses to be able to beat these teams they got to beat?
They've either not had the horses, or even when they did have the horses, it was always like something missing. Right, so like the earlier days when they had the horses, if we're talking like the 2011, 2012 era Texans, and I don't want to put all of this on Matt Schaub, but they had quite a bit of horses, but it was like, man, it feels like they are a tier quarterback away. Like the quarterback doesn't necessarily have to be Brady or that era's Aaron Rodgers or whatever it is, but it
seems... But the last two quarterbacks, it's weird, you felt like they could...
But then they had the quarterbacks, and it was like, well, you know what, they don't have... You know, a running back. They don't have anything. They don't have much outside of DeAndre Hopkins.
They don't have
the defense.
Much
like,
outside of JJ.
Or injured. Or the coaching. And these last few iterations of Texans that had the horses. Like, you could argue, and I did this earlier in the show, that last year's Texans, from a talent standpoint, could make the case
that's the first time I thought they did.
It's probably one of their more talented rosters that they've ever assembled in franchise history. But where did they not have the horses? Offensive line? And where were they also lacking?
Which turned their quarterback differently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, even when they had the most talent that they've ever had, something was lacking. Something very key was missing. It kind of just speaks to how you need so much to work for you in football for everything to kind of go right. But yeah, no, they, even when they have the horses, it's like they got something missing. Do they have it now?
Do you feel like they have it now? And the type of horses you need can sometimes change by what the competition is, right? But you know what it is. They are facing off where they have four like potential first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks in their prime,
yep,
in their conference. And they are also bringing good teams to the table for the most part. The Bengals, we'll see. But, I mean, he's still bringing Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Hendrickson potentially.
Gotta respect it.
Right. But clearly, Buffalo, Baltimore, and Kansas City not only have the quarterbacks, but they are also bringing other pieces and good teams to the party with them. And that is the question. Do they have the horses now to be able to get, because that's not, those teams are not slowing down and going away, to be honest with you. You're going to have to have the horses to jump them.
Yeah, and to me, like, you think about it, just look at the Texans. They've got either a Pro Bowl caliber or all pro caliber player at pretty much every level except the one that's been glaring, that we've been focused on and keyed in on really for the entirety of last season and certainly the entirety of this offseason. They don't have that guy or seemingly the right collection or group of guys until further notice, until we see that on the offensive line. Like, you go from top to bottom. C.J. Stroud, stud. Nico Collins, all pro level type of player. I know he hasn't been all pro yet, but that type of player. Joe Mixon, been ranked as one of the top 10 running backs in all of football. So in theory, they've got the horses. Is it complete enough? Do they have enough around the horses is the question now. Like, do they have a good enough supporting cast, that being the offensive line, good enough supporting cast, that being the coaching staff, to utilize or to maximize the horses that they got?
Let me ask both of you this. Tyler, you first. 2 years ago, when they entered the playoffs and they hosted the Browns, the Joe Flacco Browns that they ended up beating, yeah, the dog out of.
Mm-hmm.
In going into that game, how did you feel about the Texans in that game?
I felt good going into that game.
You felt good. You felt good going into that game.
I felt good based off of what they had done in the previous week, but at the same time, or, you know, just the fact that they were there, I would say I felt good about. But I mean, they had lost to that team. Had, but like I'm just 2 weeks about before
the matchup. You're feeling going into the game. You felt like yes. This. What? How did you feel the next week when they went to Baltimore? Tyler, what was your feeling? They played the playoff game and they went back to.
I was scared.
Yeah, we had seen that week one. They Very were a scared. Much different team by the end of the season.
You felt differently about that team. Was it a similar feeling this year when the Chargers came in? And then you had to go play Kansas City?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I would say almost very similar feelings.
But
yes.
You know what I didn't feel like? I didn't feel like it wasn't because they didn't have the horse or that it was because they didn't have the horses. You know, it was just like we haven't gotten over that hump yet. What's it going to take? But, you know, I felt like they had the horses to get it done. There was just always something missing.
Yeah, I just say that and wonder because I think those other four teams – the Bengals, the Ravens,
the Bills.
And the Bills and the Chiefs. I think even though the Chiefs have been the team that has really kind of dominated those matchups, I think all of the teams, though, when they play each other, believe, like, we're going to win.
Yeah.
And we can. I don't think they walk into the games, even with the Chiefs, I don't think they walk into the games thinking, boy, we need a lot to go right.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to need some help. We need a lot to go right. We need somebody to play outside of their minds a little bit. I think all those teams think we can play with each other.
Yeah. And
I don't know that I've felt that way about the Texans in their history.
They are still on the outside looking in when it comes to that. Feeling like anytime you step on the field that you are the favorite even if you are not.
Yeah.
They don't have that.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue, T-Mill's best bets. And how important is this one? We know this is going to be the final series before the All-Star break, and the Astros will get a little time off as they are 7.5 games up in the West against over the Mariners. They're playing the Rangers, who they are 9.5 up on. How important, though, is this series with Lance Framber, Hunter Brown going in this series, coming off being swept by the Guardians at home? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'll get to some of these texts in about the Texans having the horses coming up in a bit. Texans All Access behind us. And look out now. Some of the best hair on the team, Tommy Townsend.
Okay.
The punter will be on the show, and Kurt Heinisch.
That's a man.
Also stopped by.
That's a man that really grew his hair out, Framber. That's real long hair.
And we got to sit in here and watch him in person with that. But Tommy Townsend, Kurt Heinisch, they will be on with Mark Vandermeer, John Hattis on Texans All Access following us. And then Area 45. The best damn late night sports talk show in all of Houston. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago. They will be holding it down. And T Mills' best bets. He's been in the red all week, folks.
So get on this betting train here with T Mill.
That's two. Went for four bets last night and got two, missed two. So 50%.
My man is due for a big night.
All right, yeah. Again, as we know, when the Astros are starting to struggle, that seems to be a trigger that leads Tyler to start to struggle.
How about hell, last night, the Astros weren't even playing.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
I appreciate you. You rolled. It's been a rough one.
Those damn Rays. No, man, you should have had a good night yesterday. You should have been 3-1. The Mariners were up 5-0, no hitting the Yankees through 7.
Oh, I know it. Freaking Merman.
Man. That damn Giancarlo Stanton, he came back, didn't he?
Yeah. Don't bet on Merman.
Yeah.
As an edict.
T-Mill's best bet's coming up in just a bit. Some of the things here on the text line, we have never had an O-line that would make us competitive at the highest levels.
That's not true.
That's why I say about the horses. Sometimes, like, that's the thing, is everybody is not going to have everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Cincinnati Bengals went to the Super Bowl. The Cincinnati Bengals went to back-to-back AFC championships. And let me tell you what, this is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Who, listen, I had to take the L on this. At one point, I tried to argue a point of they were a decently run organization, and B. Scott would have none of it, and he's right.
Yeah, yeah.
But they
were lucky.
They're not a great organization. And they damn sure did not have, as you put it here, an offensive line that could be competitive at the highest levels. Remember, they had Cyron Sharping over there at left guard getting into the AFC Championship game. Zach left him out to dry 101 with Chris Jones to start that game. That did not get good. But the Chiefs last year, they had a guard playing tackle.
They did.
Right? And, like, they, against Will Anderson and
Danielle Hunter,
and Danielle Hunter, and Will gave him the business on one of them sacks.
He did.
Right? And then ultimately, it just absolutely the dam broke against the Eagles. But they were able. So it's different places that the horses. Like, everybody's not going to have all of the horses. Like, Buffalo has the horses, but they don't have everything. I mean, they didn't have great receivers last year. Like, Baltimore sometimes seems to have everything. But they don't. I mean, they have some issues in certain places. So it's not just, all right, our offensive line stunk or whatever. Like, it's certain areas.
Yeah.
You haven't had the quarterback, and as you said, you haven't had the coach sometimes. The coach is sometimes to pull it through.
I'm going to go ahead and get this dad joke out of the way. The horses that the Texans have been missing, and we were just talking about this right before we came back from the break, to use a Clint Sterner term, the polos. The polos on the sideline, that is where I think a lot of times the lack of faith and trust has been for Texans fans, and it has reared its ugly head, I think, at times in the postseason, whether you're talking about Bill O'Brien of the past or you're talking about Bobby Slowick not exactly being equipped more recently. They have, when they did have the horses, when I talk about something has always been missing for the Texans, there's always something missing, more often than not, there's this lack of faith and belief in the play caller. Another thing that those other teams have had, synergy with the play caller and an actual belief in the play caller and the system. So it didn't feel like those teams have had to try to overcome the folks on the sideline, the coaching staff, and the ways that the Texans have, both past and present.
Yeah. And I will even say last year, if it's Bobby, something was disconnected with the offensive staff, but also they were missing some horses too.
Yeah.
In that, right? Like they were missing some of their guys. They didn't have Tank. They didn't have Diggs.
Bobby Slowick would be a better play caller if Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell were available to him. That part of it is fair.
Is this, would you say this is an important series for the Astros facing the Rangers, having Lance Framber, Hunter Brown go after being swept going into the All-Star break?
I think it's important for the reasons that you just mentioned. You got Lance, you got Framber, and you got Hunter Brown. So these are your best pitchers that are going for you. I don't think that you were as comfortable of a lead as you feel like you might have right now, and as much of a train wreck as a lot of the division seems to be. You know, we were just talking about the Mariners. I still don't feel like you can afford to waste opportunities. You lose a game tonight, okay, it's 1-162. I get it. But I don't feel like you can afford to waste the opportunity. It's opportunity cost to me, right? Like, okay, we got our best pitchers going, and then we're talking about a team that is like bottom 10, bottom 7 in a lot of the key metrics offensively. So these things should match up perfectly. A light hitting team versus your best pitchers. Oh, by the way, on the best pitching staff, or what has been the best pitching staff all year. No, that should be the perfect alignment for the Astros. So I think it's huge just in terms of opportunity cost. Do I think it's the end of the world if they lose? No. But I think it would be a massive disappointment to go into the All-Star break having been swept by an inferior Cleveland team, and then to not get it done by an inferior, what is objectively an inferior Rangers team.
That's the part. Yeah, you just that's some tough mojo. You come out with Seattle, And you can lay your head on the injury situation, but I mean that some of that is going to kind of be the deal. Like if they come out here and it's a bad start for, like, let's be honest, Hunter didn't have a great start his last one out. His worst start of the season. Maybe one of his worst starts probably since I think he gave up 9 or 10 in the first inning against the Royals. That may have been the last really bad start that he had. And then Framber got the win, but he gave up 4 earned and 6 against the Dodgers and not the sharpest that he has been. And if they have rough outings again, you know, that, now you're kind of starting to mess with your head a little bit. Like, yo, what's going on? Not the end of the world, but it's been good mojo going.
Yeah, and I was mentioning this yesterday. The Cleveland series brought me back down to earth, right? And I'm not saying that handling business against the Rangers is going to put me in some type of euphoria or anything like that, but it will give me a much greater deal of confidence in the Astros going into the All-Star break than if, again, you're reeling the way that they would be getting swept by Cleveland and then not handling business against the Rangers. Like, to me, that's not the type of vibe that you want going into the break.
All right, let's get these bets going. By the way, man, look at Charles up there. Charles look good, ain't he?
I was just about to say, you're right, he does look good.
Oh, look, wait till you get the stomach, man. He is, that's Ozempic something. All right, give us your best bets, D-Mill. I mean, he looks good.
Yeah, let's attempt to get one Green Day out of this week of best bets.
Just one, please. You gonna scoop him up something? Go ahead.
I got 5 baseball wagers to finish out this week, and like I said, we're looking for our first Green Day, so you might want to fade these. And if you do, that's just fine. I'm glad to help. First,
no, Tony is.
First, I got the Cubs plus 1.5 as they are playing the Yankees up in the Bronx tonight.
I like it.
Next, I got 2 unders for you. The Blue Jays, they're going to be over in California playing the A's. I'm on the under in that game, which is set at 11.
Sacramento.
Yep. Sacramento. Mets at Royals, I'm sorry, tonight. Under 9.5 in that one. I like it a lot. Ron's not sure, and that's his team.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
And then, of course, 2 Astros wagers to finish out these best bets. I'm on the Astros to whoop that Ranger ass tonight at Daikin Park. I'm on the money line. -115 is what I got it at. And then the GOAT, the Stroh GOAT. He failed us last time. He doesn't normally do it twice in a row. I'm on Altuve over 1.5 total bases in the game tonight against the Rangers. What do you like? What do you not, boys?
Man, look, I don't know what I like, but my Lord, please let some of these bets hit. It is bad when we do a betting hit or a betting segment, and the advice on the front end is, man, you might want to fade these.
Yeah, man.
Get us to a place to where that ain't the case.
That is a number, 11. That means they really think runs are going to be scored, and the Blue Jays have been going off. George Springer has been one of the catalysts for that. Actually, I do like the Royals one. Michael Wacha has pitched pretty well this year for the Royals, and he is number one easy when it comes to lack of run support by his team.
Oh, yeah.
Number one in baseball.
That's your Aggie brethren, ain't it?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and the Mets have they're a pretty good pitcher going too. Altuve, that one's hard to go wrong with. I like Lance in the matchup tonight, so not bad. I think you should be in the green with this.
All right, let's ride then, and Ron, let's get drunk tomorrow.
Fingers crossed,
let's do it. That's right. Big Phil, Josh, we're coming for you.
Coming for you.
We'll see you. B. Scott, appreciate you in the last 2 days. Clint will be back on Monday, we believe. Tyler, great job as well. I am Ron, the show guys. Have a great weekend. And as always, Houston, we love you, baby. Seems impossible to face They just call him Little Phil, but would you call yourself in the group me Big Phil if that's what you've always been called?
Have you ever been around a little man with a little man's complex? Because yes, I think it's the answer. I mean, I've seen many short and small man who think he's big, whoever it is.
Is it rude for me to just text Victor, can I get heights and weights for Big Phil and John?
I think you should.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.